Hello, and welcome to Sesquicentennial Stories, a deep dive into the history of Alaska before, during, and after the Alaska Purchase in 1867. Our goal is to tell the story of the 49th state from as many viewpoints as possible, presenting you with some twists on stories you know, and hopefully learning something new along the way. This series is sponsored by the Sitka Historical Society and the Sitka History Museum. I'm Emmett Williams, and today I'm speaking with author Dennis Noble about one of the more interesting and unknown personalities in early Alaska, Captain Mike Healy. We talked about the many jobs that Healy did. I have this one quote that says that he acted as judge, doctor, and policeman to Alaska natives, merchant seamen, and whaling crews.
That's a good quote. I hope it was from me. But anyways, the job that he had was what was known as the Bering, eventually became known as Bering Sea Patrol. They were the revenue cutter service because they were there to protect the one of their jobs was to protect the revenue of the United States. And fur seals were a major source of revenue to the country. And they started people started poaching on those seals to make more money. So they needed a police force up in the Bering Sea. The Revenue Cutter Service had that. So one of his primary duty was to protect the source protect the seals for legal hunting. And while they were up there, and again, as I've said numerous times already, it's an isolated area. They would go into a village and they'd say, these people need some help. So they put a doctor over there. So that became another job, became medical. Okay, they were also a law enforcement thing for any kind of illegal activities. And then they were scientific duties. Nobody knew what was up there. Sometimes the officers did it. Sometimes scientists did it. An interesting thing about the law enforcement, because they were the only law up there, even into the 1950s, one of the things that they used to do, they had a what they called a judicial cruise. And they would pick up a judge, a federal judge, and a federal marshal, and they would go to various villages, and they would hold courts. They did that up until the 60s. When Healy operated up there, he was the law enforcement up there. They could bring natives that were that did something wrong, and he could try them. Does that answer what he was doing?
Exactly.
He was doing a little everything. How's that?
Yeah, was there any backlash to him having all these roles? Or was it, did people just see it as the job of the government?
There was some backlash. Healy, while I said he was a great seaman like that, he was also a taskmaster. He came in, Healy came up through the old school of sailing in the age of sail. Captain said something, you better do it. And he was known for being very, very hard on his junior officers. And he was also, however, if he gave anybody a break, it was on his enlisted people.
Talk to me about what a great sailor he was.
He normally worked the area of the northern Bering Sea and above the Arctic Circle, up to as far as Point Barrow, which is the northernmost town up in that area. He worked in that area, and it's not stretching the imagination too much. Is that would be almost like a person nowadays going to the moon. I mean, there were a few people. You don't see too many people on the moon, but there were very few people there. The wrong move, and you're in Arctic waters, and you're not, you know, if the ship sinks in Arctic waters, you don't have much chance. there's always a chance you're going to be stuck in the ice, and there's a very good danger of getting nipped. That's where the ship is crushed by the ice, and then you're in bad shape. Anyways, today it is very difficult to try to explain that to somebody because the easiest way to do is it's fair, still fairly isolated up in that area to the northwest of Alaska. It's barren, and it was very few charts for the area. There were charts, but no soundings, and that's one of the more dangerous things.
Sheldon Jackson is, of course, very important to Alaska history. Can you tell me about the Sheldon Jackson Mike Healy reindeer connection?
Around the 1890s, a number of people that went up north thought that the natives were going to die or going to face imminent starvation because of the influx of people coming in. They would have the natives hunt for fur so that they could get money, and they would give the natives money, and they were not doing the hunting for food. So there's a number of people who have claimed this, but eventually Sheldon Jackson and Healy hit upon a plan where, because Healy was well known on both sides of both continents, he was well known in the villages in Siberia, well known in the villages in Alaska, Arctic Alaska and Siberia. Reindeer are not native to the North American continent, but they are over in Siberia. So one of the thoughts was, if we can get reindeer, bring them over to Alaska and have somebody like the Laplanders come in and teach the natives how to herd and take care of the reindeer, there's a ready source of food for them. So Healy and the bear went over with, and I think Sheldon Jackson was on the first one, got the reindeer and brought them back. So the idea that they came up with is that Healy would, with the permission of the Revenue Cutter Service, would go over to Siberia, pick up the reindeer, and bring them back to Alaska. Sheldon Jackson would be actually in charge of the program, especially dealing with the politics of it.
You're listening to Sesquicentennial Stories, a production of the Sitka Historical Society and the Sitka History Museum. And while Healy's story is remarkable, there was also much conflict in his life. Towards the end of his life, I have this quote from him that says, "When I am in charge of a vessel, I always command. Nobody commands but me. I take all the responsibility, all the risks, all the hardships that my office would call upon me to take. I do not steer by any man's compass but my own." It seems like this sort of thing made him a great sailor and a great leader, but it also worked against him with people sometimes, and that sort of led to his downfall, and then there were court martials.
That quote is directly from his court martial, directly, word for word. It does show a leader, but it also shows that he was going to do it his way, and you tried to do it another way, you were in deep trouble. And as I said, his reputation was always that he was extremely hard on his junior officers. There's another thing that enters into this, two things in it. He did have a drinking problem. There's just absolutely no question on that. He did have a drinking problem. The other thing that enters into this is, by this time, the Revenue Cutter Service had basically an academy. They called it the School of Instruction, and they were pumping out, well-trained officers that wanted to get ahead, right? Well, there was no retirement system in the Revenue Cutter Service. A captain could conceivably serve until the day he died. So they had another way of taking care of that. They had taken a senior captain and put him ashore and say awaiting orders, but it still stopped the junior officers from pushing upward. So there became a sort of silent thing of the junior officers trying to get rid of a lot of these officers that they thought were old, past their prime, and drunkards, their thoughts. And this all came to a head in Alaska, and he was set to a court-martial, and my personal opinion is it was a gentleman's mutiny. They wanted most of the junior officers, and he was set up for cruelty and for drinking while he was in command, which, you know, or being drunk. You could drink on a ship in those days. But he was brought up for being drunk while he was in command of the ship in a dangerous situation, which is not a good thing. Right. And he, all the junior officers went against him. The senior officer, the executive officer, sided with Healy. All the enlisted men sided with Healy, which sort of shows you a what was happening there. But he could not beat the charge. He was put ashore for a number of years, dropped to the bottom of the captain's list, and said, "You will remain there forever. But and if you're ever caught drunk again, or drunk while you're on ship, you're out, period." He did spend his 4 years. He came back. He had a little trouble. But the amazing thing is he was then restored back to the number one position on, or his original position on the captain's list, within the top three. But he went back to his original position. And most things in naval practice, if you're restored back to your position, that meant you're forgiven.
And finally, how important was Healy to the creation of Alaska as we know it?
He provided a sense of law in the area, but mainly he provided a search and rescue for the state, or for the maritime area of the state. He was, in fact, the federal government for the United States in Alaska, and I think that helped the state. He opened up areas of Alaska that, you know, nobody knew about. He provided a scientific look at some unknown areas, but he provided a sense of law enforcement. He was doing, in his time, the Coast Guard now continues to this day to do the same thing.
You've been listening to Sesquicentennial Stories with special guest author Dennis Noble. This series is sponsored by the Sitka History Museum and the Sitka Historical Society, with support from the Rasmussen Foundation, the Sitka Legacy Fund, and KCW Sitka. This series is produced by Mission Man Media. Jeff Budd is the executive producer. I'm Emmett Williams, and thanks for listening.